Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by great folks like the Magic for Less Travel. Disney really wants you to check out Walt Disney World in the first quarter of 2017 because there are some amazing discounts to be had right now. There's some stay, play, and dine discounts, which lets you save some money on all three aspects of your Walt Disney World vacation. And if you don't need tickets or dining, they have some great room-only offers as well called Gift of Magic. The best thing to do is to drop by themagicforless.com, check out all the great details, fill out that free, no-obligation quote, and an agent will be back with you right away to give you some numbers and see if this next vacation is something that may be on the horizon that you didn't even expect. There's some great numbers and there's some great agents. They want to work with you to make this a magical vacation in the first quarter of 2017. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1080 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. Thanks again for checking in. Let's kick off the weekend here. I know a lot of lizards have big runs this weekend, so hopefully we're keeping you company as you pound the pavement, getting ready for Wine and Dine 2017. In less than 3 weeks, we'll be down there having a good time. I cannot wait. It's going to be a fun weekend. And a lot of folks training for the marathon, too, so get ready for that as well. So today, we are going to have fun talking about, you know, it's kind of talking about the situation last week down at Walt Disney World with the hurricane, what we think they did well, what things we might have changed, and all that good fun stuff to kind of just reflect on, you know, happenings down at Walt Disney World. So to do that, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Friday, Ricky.
Yay! It's Friday. I'm happy. That's all.
Finally. Woo, man.
I kept it short and simple.
That's it, man. We have this stretch here, though, but like, I'm totally getting this itch to get back down there, like, so bad. And it's one of those things, you know, we're at about, trying to think, and I'm about 18 days until we go. Like, it's too soon to pack, but it's like, I can taste it. Like, I can't wait. I mean, yeah. I love race weekends. They're fun.
Yeah, I might want to ask off work. That would probably be a good idea.
I'm sick. I feel the cough coming on.
Oh, no, I still have PTO. I'm good.
I have days, but, you know, I'm saving my personal days for marathon.
Mine all count as one, so it really doesn't matter whether I just decide that I want to take the day off or I'm sick. It counts as one day, so I have a limited number of that.
See, that's how it should be in education, but it's really not. I mean, it boils down to, like, you have so many days where you get paid for being out, but you're only supposed to take three personal days a year, so it's just a game, you know? I mean, who's to say I won't have a sniffly nose, you know? Like,
I mean,
right,
who's
down
to say? You.
Yeah, I mean, sick, not sick. I mean, I may have, like, a sore toenail or something. I probably will have a sore toenail.
You probably will have a sore toenail.
Yeah,
you might have a blister.
A blister. I mean, blisters can get infected, and that can be serious.
Absolutely.
You take care of that.
That could be very dangerous.
All right. Oh, we're so not ethical. Anyway, so joining us, we also have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Friday, Pam.
Happy Friday. I'm feeling dirty after that one.
I know. If my HR department gets that, I'm done. I hope they don't listen.
But anyways, thankfully, I don't have those kind of limitations. So I'm glad to say I'm not working within those constraints.
I don't have those constraints.
I mean, you know, the other downside of that is no one's paying me if I'm taking all
those. That's true. Yes.
I'm at least getting paid.
I'm like, self, if you would like to get paid, you might as well go to work. So anyway. So, but there's good and bad in all jobs. But I can't wait to get down there and see all of our friends. So many people are running. We have that great dessert party over at the Portico Share, Mike, and the Portico Share.
Yay! You said it right for once.
It's awesome. So anyways, really looking forward to all of that. Can't wait. And yes, I know I did. I did just get back, but I can't wait to go again.
Yay.
Always. I mean, that's the way it is. That's why we do this podcast. That's why you listen. That's why you're tuned in today, because
you know it. Enough. We feel the same way that everyone else does. Got so right. Anyways, yeah.
All right. So we thought we would kind of just, you know, step back. It's been about a week since all the events happened with Hurricane Matthew down at Walt Disney World and in the Caribbean, and just kind of step back, because this was really one of those very few moments in Walt Disney World history where, you know, the resort is basically 100% shut down. All the parks were closed, you know, and, you know, for over about, it's probably about 36 hours that all the parks were closed. Disney Springs was closed. Everybody was kind of on lockdown at their resorts. And of course, Disney Cruise Line had itineraries modified. You know, the Fantasy stayed out for 8 nights instead of 7. And then the next cruise went to a 6-night Western. So there was a lot of changes. And we were, you know, we're not experts at this. I mean, the logistics of this had to have been monumental. But, I thought we'd just kind of sit around roundtable style and just talk about, you know, what we thought Disney did well and what we thought maybe you would have changed, and just kind of have an honest conversation. I kind of want to start it off by saying, you know, I think that, first of all, you got to look at, like, the meteorologists and the folks who plan the storms, the National Hurricane Center, and Walt Disney World as a whole, as far as their, you know, operations. The bottom line is they want to keep everybody safe. I think that Orlando semi dodged a bullet on this one, where it kind of at the 11th hour, the hurricane took a little jog to the east as I was going to bed that night before it was going to make landfall, and it didn't kind of go more west. It kind of went more east, which I think spared at least Orlando proper, and they didn't get maybe as much of a brunt of a hit as they were expecting. So I think that was good. Ricky, when you were watching this unfold on social media, we had lots of friends down there. We were, you know, just worried sick about them. I know we were texting back and forth and hope everybody's okay. What were you thinking? Because again, I was seeing stuff on the Weather Channel. I mean, this is an international cable station where, I mean, the forecast was like dire. I was really nervous when I started seeing stuff like that.
Yeah, I was glued to, you know, everything that I could read about everything that was going on and paying attention to it all. And, you know, of course, my brother lives down there. So that was obviously my number one concern. Of course, my friends as well. But, you know, family is pretty important. So, you know, I was really concerned about him, especially because this was his first hurricane. So I wanted to make sure that he was prepared and he knew what to do. So I really helped to give him, you know, I followed a few people who had been in hurricanes before. So I was collecting knowledge so that I could pass that on to him about things that he maybe needed to consider, you know, like buying a flashlight or candles, or, you know, making sure that they had food that if the refrigerator, the power went out for a few days, they'd still have food, making sure they had water, you know, that kind of thing. So things that, you know, in St. Louis, we don't have to think about because, yeah, well, we may have a tornado and that's scary, but that's just a one shot, you know, like it's over in 10, 15, 30 minutes, depending on how fast that storm is blowing through. Whereas a hurricane, this is an all day event. So, or, you know, a good portion of the day event. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, everything was okay. And it was interesting kind of reading up on, you know, cause obviously eventually Brian and I do want to get down to Florida. So it was interesting to read up on the things that I eventually we'll need to consider when we move down there as well. So I was also keeping, you know, kind of an eye out of things that I need to keep in mind. It was definitely a learning experience, and I appreciated the fact of, you know, this is the big thing that I've noticed. This was the first storm where social media was a presence, because all the other storms, you know, it wasn't as big, you know, what the last one was in 2005 that hit Orlando. So this was the first storm where there was a really large social media presence. And I found that to be fascinating.
It is. And the thing, too, about social media is it's a great way to get the message out instantly. Yeah. I mean, that's such a huge tool, and I'm glad that we have that. Now, I will say that, you know, I was in Hurricane Charlie that passed right over Orlando, like the, you know, the eye of the storm, actually, because it came out of the Gulf and crossed the peninsula, then went, you know, up towards, like, towards Jacksonville. And we had that one night. The biggest thing for me was that, you know, in St. Louis, we have these really bad thunderstorms in the springtime, you know, with tornadoes sometimes, where you'll have a wind gust of maybe 70 or 80 miles an hour. But I remember that night at Pop Century, there were sustained winds of 90 miles an hour. I mean, sustained winds for hours. And it was just... The power of nature is incredible. I'm a weather nut as it is. And I also want to send a huge shout out to Michelle. She called in live because she was sheltering at Pop Century from her home in South Florida right on the beach. So, you know, that was interesting to get a Floridian's take because I'd been like, ah, it's crazy. You know, she's lived through it. So I was like, this is the person to go to. She's going to give us a realistic perspective. And we got lots of great feedback on that. So thanks again to Michelle. Now, Pam, you have a very different perspective because... You guys were actually on Oasis of the Seas. You were on a Southern Caribbean itinerary. Was it scheduled Southern Caribbean that you guys were on?
Mm-hmm.
So how is that? Because I think a lot of people, especially folks that book during, you know, book a cruise during hurricane season, fortunately for 95% of the people, it usually never affects you. You know, of course, there always is that slight chance that a hurricane will pop up in, you know, hurricane season. But how was that being on a cruise ship with this, you know, Category 4 hurricane not so far away?
So I think one of the things, first of all, when you are cruising, you should always purchase travel insurance, but it's especially important to do so during hurricane season, which they really classify as June until, you know, like November. Yeah. So that's something that you need to consider. But the reason being, not just because of what could happen to you, like if you had a medical emergency, but things like weather. And this will help compensate you for things like if your flight just doesn't happen to get you there or to get you home. If your flight gets canceled when you need to get there and you totally miss your cruise, if you don't have travel insurance, you actually really aren't owed any compensation by the cruise line at all. Because it's your duty to get to the ship on time. So that's something to consider about. And that could be thousands of dollars that you just lose because you couldn't make it to the port on time. In addition, if when your cruise ends and your flight is just not there and you can't get home, unless you've purchased insurance, no one has to pay for your hotel or anything like that while you're sitting there waiting for the airports to open up and things like that. So those are just some of the few things. I mean, this is not to scare people, but a vacation is an investment and you want to protect that investment. And when you look at it, the price of insurance is really a small price to pay to do that. So that's something to think about. But having said all that, you know, all of these new modern cruise ships today have weather reporting and other, you know, all these options that make the captains very aware of most weather conditions. Every now and then something weird, you know, comes up that they don't really know about. So you could see the cruise lines were making changes to itineraries, to departure dates, to where they were sailing way in advance of when these storms were going to hit. So they were able to steer around that. And actually, as I mentioned on Wednesday's podcast, we had really, really smooth sailing. Now, it didn't hurt that we were on one of the largest ships in the world and therefore not impacted as much by those things. But all the ships really experienced the same things. I've had much rougher seas at different times of the year. So that's something to think about. But as you notice, Disney Cruise Line, as soon as they altered itineraries or as soon as they decided that they were keeping some of the ships out for extra days at sea, they immediately reprint the navigators, have them there in your hands. There are extra activities. There's extra dining. There's extra movies. There's things that they are going to make available to all the guests. as soon as some kind of itinerary change is made. And that is to help guests with, you know, the disappointment of maybe missing a port or having to stay on the ship longer. Who gets disappointed by that? I'm not sure, but I'm sure some do. But I mean, they're really good at making those kind of transitions. They have experience in that. They want everyone to be pleased with their vacation, and they do what they can to make that happen.
But let me ask you this. So you're out there while this is going, because I'm one of those people that, you know, like Ricky said, I was glued from like Monday to the TV. I mean, I was watching it like a sporting event, like constantly, because I'm just a weather person and I just wanted to know, you know. And it's like, and I know like the Weather Channel kind of sensationalizes things because they want you to stay tuned. I mean, they had me. I mean, I was like, where's Jim you know, like, where's Jim Cantore going to be? Because he's like, you know, it's always, he's going to be in the eye of the storm, man. If you see him walking into your town, just pack up and just go, because you're
done. I saw a bunch of people post that too. They're like, oh, Orlando, Jim's coming.
Exactly. if I see that cat coming, dude, I am running as fast as I can. But, you know, I just wanted to know what was going on. So Monday, you know, maybe, you know, Tuesday I started to look more bleak, and then Wednesday and Thursday, and obviously, you know, Friday was a mess. But it's one of those things, you know, I want to be tuned into the news. So Pam, how, like, was there a buzz on the ship of what was going on? Was the captain making any announcements, or was, you know, how was the story of the storm actually on your cruise ship? Because Oasis is a floating city. It's crazy.
It truly is. And I will say, so part of this is me, because I am not a big believer in, I hate the way that the Weather Channel and news channels, and specifically like, sensationalize storms. I mean, I agree. If I were to pay attention to them more often, I would get sucked in too. But so frequently they are wrong that I try very purposefully to stay as non-aware as possible in terms of with things I can't control. Having said that, the captain actually did come on many times and let us know how things were going, what plans he had made. On our return trip back, he took what he called a more classic Caribbean route, which was, I know, right?
I get it. No, he put on like a Captain Steubing outfit, and he's like, dude, we're doing the web boat.
We'd be classic.
That'd be awesome. That's what I would totally do. That'd totally get everybody's mind off a hurricane right there.
But anyways, he said, you know, we weren't going to swing up and around, but we were going to kind of hug the coastlines and stay in those protected waters. And that really made a difference. And the only thing I did, you know, I would like click on the news maybe once a day or so, or, you know, read through, you know, on my phone to get the kind of latest news. And the one thing I did to prepare was, well, I felt very safe in where I would be when I was on the ship. I wasn't sure how the airports were going to be when we got home. So I made sure I rented a car at the Fort Lauderdale airport so that I could get one if necessary, and then have more options than would be available to those who didn't have a car. And I also got a hotel inland at some place that I thought would be available if need be. So, I mean, those are the kind of, you know, plans that we put in place. But the captain actually really kept us well informed, made us feel really safe. And the fact that we were experiencing no ill effects from the storm kind of made that a lot easier too. So,
yeah, it was sick because, you know, my Pam's asking, okay, you know, how are Pam and every, because, you know, a lot of the team from the Magic for Less was on this, you know, kind of training cruise. And, you know, she was asking me, you know, Pam's on a cruise, you know, is she all right? And then you're sending back pictures of you sitting at the table with a drink.
Right. I'm like, I mean, how can you be upset at her? She's drinking.
She's okay. She's doing all right.
Right now,
yeah.
I'm sitting by a pool. Okay.
We were, poor Hannah, she was at home. And were iMessaging with her. And we got a, because the ship has fantastic internet, so we would get iMessages from her throughout the day, just like we were at home or something. And at one point, we get a message from her, and she says, I'm reassuring both of your moms that you're both okay and not somewhere dying on a cruise ship. And she said, and to make them feel better, I pulled some of the pictures from your Facebook page.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know. So we were feeling no ill effects from the storm, I will say.
Good deal. You know, and I think you made a good point, though, that you, in these situations, because right now is the time, you know, we're right after something. And this is, you know, like in education and in coaching, especially, you want to kind of break down the situation right after it happens so that you're prepared if it comes around again. And this will come around again. Now, it's been years and years since anything like this has happened, but it will happen again. And it could be you that's out on a cruise ship, or it could be you at Walt Disney World. And I think one of the things you mentioned kind of briefly is that you kind of hedged your bets by, you know, while you're on your cruise, of course, you want to just, you know, kick back and have a good time. But you spent a few minutes getting a rental car. You spent a few minutes securing a hotel and being smart about it to a place where maybe it wouldn't be swamped and you could actually find a room inland. So I think, you know, maybe spending 30 minutes out of your cruise doing that is worth so much peace of mind. And if worse comes to worse, your bases are covered. You might not need it, but I think that maybe it put your mind at ease, right? Knowing that at least I have these, you said, I think you even used the word options. You gave yourself options.
I did. And that's a great, you know, that's another great reason to use a professional travel planner to assist with that. I know that many of our agents were doing the same for their guests. Unfortunately, I'm my own travel planner and didn't have someone I could email and say, you know what, could you just hold a car for me or hold a resort for me and things like that. So, I mean, you know, someone had to do it and it was up to me. So anyways, that's why I took care of it. But I think that that's another thing, you know, I mean, of course I'm biased to this, but the fact is that people who have a professional that's working on their behalf really are putting themselves in a great position because they don't have to wait on hold while, you know, you're changing plans and making other arrangements. And the hold times for Disney were really long those days. And then also they know what to expect in terms of this. They know what's reasonable. They know how to be your advocate. And Mike mentions this a lot, that we do try to be your advocate. But in situations like this, it really helps to have an advocate with you, because I read some of the stories of other guests who were just told by some of the resorts, you know, no, or we won't and whatever. And we just didn't have to deal with those kind of things because as a team, we knew what was going on and could make sure that our guests got the benefit of all those things. So
yeah, you just picture, like, you know, 7-year-old kids, you know, 5-year-old kids are at Walt Disney. They don't know what a hurricane is. You know, they're down there to see Mickey Mouse. And you know what? If you can reach out there and just help out, you know, just to make that, you know, just a little bit less scary, because I'm sure it's scary for adults, you know, it's the Absolutely. Unknown, you know, just it does make you feel good. So let me hop over to Ricky and ask, because Ricky, this stuff was unfolding, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was kind of the day where the parks were closed. Everybody was on lockdown, as I recall. Did you believe that Disney did the right thing with closing all the theme parks, I believe, on Thursday at around 5 o'clock in the evening, keeping them shut through Friday? And of course, then you had on top of that, you had MCO, Orlando International, was actually closed all day. I think that was Saturday, was it? Maybe Friday? But I mean, really, you know, Central Florida, I mean, everything was closed. I mean, every single thing. So what were your thoughts looking back on that?
Yeah, I absolutely think they should have closed. I mean, I know that, you know, they're a company and they don't want to lose out on the revenue, but I mean, obviously safety first, you've got to think of, you know, your guests and your cast members. So I think they were absolutely correct and made the correct move, especially once, you know, Florida had enacted the curfew. I mean, then they had no choice. They, you know, would have had to shut down either way. So I do wish that the communication had been a little bit better. I feel like it was pretty late in the game that they maybe made the call. And I feel like it took, you know, a while for them to actually even post the fact that, you know, hey, guess what? The parks are closing at 5. I think I noticed that they didn't even post it on their website until I think about 1:30 in the afternoon. So to me, that was a little late in the game. They could have probably let people know earlier than that, hey, you know what? We are going to close today. Because I'm sure that they had to know that they were, you know, they were really looking at doing that. I think it would have been better for everybody involved if they just would have been able to have a plan and say, hey, okay, they are closing the park early. You know, people who would have, you know, were going to the parks at, you know, say, you know, noon or one, they didn't maybe know that the parks were closing at 5, you know, like me rolling up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Where's everybody going? Why is everybody leaving? What's going on?
Exactly. It would have been nice if they would have announced it a little bit earlier. So maybe I would have gone, maybe I won't go, you know, maybe I'll figure something else out. So I do wish that they would have been a little more forthcoming with information, especially on their website, which is, you know, where a lot of people were going to find out, hey, what's going on? Because, you know, they've had this banner at the top of their page. Hey, you know, it was basically the effect of, we're keeping an eye on the storm, but the parks are still open. And, you know, you're hearing everywhere, no, the parks are closing, the parks are closing. And so I really wish that they had been a little more forthcoming with the information on their own website. So that way it would have put to bed the question, are the parks closing or are they not? Because the rumors were just running rampant all day, you know, because they didn't officially say anything until like 1:30.
So. Well, as I recall, the first thing they canceled was the Thursday night Halloween party. You know, they right. said, okay, there's not going to be a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party on Thursday. So that was kind of it. And then after that, then they said, okay, the parks are going to close at 5:00. And then they said, you know, they're going to remain closed through Friday. I did see that, you know, Disney made this call well ahead of Universal and their Halloween Horror Nights, which I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, I knew that would happen.
Universal announced it first, though, that they were closing, because my brother was paying attention. Obviously, he works for Universal, and he said Universal is the one that announced that they were officially closing first. Maybe not Halloween Horror Nights, but I do know that they officially announced that they were closing the park first. So I do know that.
Come on now. Come on now. You're trying to make Disney look bad. Come on now.
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. That's why I said Universal announced it before Disney did. That's why I said that I thought that they were late in the game by announcing it at 1:30, because I think Universal announced it at like 11 something. So
whatever. I'll cut that out of the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, just kidding. All right. So let me ask you this, though. So, you know, when they decide to make, I mean, this is a huge call, because here's the situation, and you don't think about this very often, is that all of a sudden, when you close Disney Springs and all four parks and the water parks and every other option, and you're on a curfew, okay, so the whole place is on a curfew. I mean, Florida's on a curfew, the whole state. And there were some awesome memes. You know, now that everybody's safe, they're, you know, like, you know, the guy from National Lampoon's Vacation, sorry, folks, Florida's closed. You know, that's basically what it was. You know, it's crazy. But you have this unique situation where every single Walt Disney World Resort guest is now at their resort. You know, and that now, you know, it's coming to be supper time. You have thousands of people all starving at the same time. So you saw like swamped food courts. You saw, you know, just, but I, you know, I don't know what else Disney could have done in this situation. I mean, yeah, the lines were crazy at Pop Century's food court and food courts all over property, but, you know, and I saw people, you know, saying they should have given out free box food, you know, boxes. I don't know where I fall on this. I think that it was just one of those things where you just don't usually expect to have that many people at a resort all at the same time trying to eat. You know, it's a very unique situation. I thought, you know, nobody got crazy. You know, they didn't have to, you know, zap anybody with tasers, you know, because trying to get a peanut butter and jelly. It didn't turn to a riot, you know, and everybody, I think, thank goodness the guests on there have patience for the most part and they understand the situation. Pam, what did you think kind of looking back on all that? I mean, because it was very unprecedented to have that kind of a smash on those resorts all at the same time for really like 36 hours.
So I will say that Disney deserves a little grace in this kind of situation. I mean, I think for the most part, guests were understanding because, of course, Disney didn't anticipate this happening. They did it, and they did it to protect people. And this was what was considered a national emergency by all accounts. So, I mean, first of all, I think that that needs to be, you know, everyone needs to think about that, because I saw some very, I will say, what I consider to be unreasonable guests with the calls for free food and things like that. When something like this happens, not only are businesses not supposed to gouge people, but people are not supposed to gouge businesses. And unfortunately, at times, people use something like this as a way to benefit themselves, right? So regardless of what they were doing that day, people would have had to have paid for food. So they don't get free food just because they ended up, you know, staying at the resort in the interest of their safety. I mean, I'm not trying to sound preachy. I just don't like to see anyone be taken advantage of, not a person and not a business. And I think that you have to extend that grace to each other and extend that grace to the people who are with you. And the people who are happen to be with you, not by anyone's choice, right? Maybe you didn't plan on standing in line for 3 hours or 2 hours with some of your other resort mates. But in the end, that's what ended up happening, because everyone was kind of doing their best. I don't think that, you know, Disney was trying to make things challenging for people. I mean, if it were up to them, they would have loved to have seen the parks be able to remain open and for business to go on as usual. But that just wasn't the case. It wasn't something that was able to happen. So I just think that everyone, you know, needs to kind of take that into consideration. And hopefully in the future, maybe there will be changes made on both sides. But I think that there was a lot of, we're doing the best that we can. And sometimes that needs to count for something.
No, I totally agree. Go ahead, Ricky.
I was going to say, and I think that, you know, that is true. And this kind of goes back along with what I was saying. If they would have let people know a little bit sooner, they might have been able to prepare a little better and not have the crush of people all at once. Because, you know, everybody came back from the resort at 5 o'clock, which is, of course, dinner time. And so they're all, you know, getting there and getting hungry. And, you know, of course, they're all swarming. But, you know, I might have made the suggestion of, hey, if you're in the theme parks, maybe grab a sandwich or a snack for breakfast or whatever and take it back to your room. Because I saw a lot of people doing that. And I'm like, oh, that's really smart, you know. So maybe if they would have, you know, said something like that in their official statement or, you know, just been a little more helpful with that type of thing. I think that that would have been great. But I agree. I don't think that they should have given away food. I am still laughing at the box lunch of the lunch meat sandwich that was $13.
Yeah, that was a little expensive. I mean, I know that it, you know, food at Disney is expensive, but that was a little high. That was, you know, maybe $8 or $9. Come on now.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, $7.5 even, but yeah, I don't think $13 was appropriate for that.
Like, I don't either.
That was a little sad. But, you know, I think that overall, you know, they did the best they could with the amount of people that they had. I just, again, I wish they would have been a little more forthcoming with the information. You know, we do have social media now. They can post these types of things on their feeds if to help people. That's what social media is here for. And, you know, they pretty much just shut off everything after they announced, hey, the parks are closed, done. Like, that was it. And I know, you know, those people are, given that I work in the field of social media and I know how things work, you know, I get it. But just think about it a little bit, you know, you are still having to help these people who are still on vacation. So, you know, I would have probably just given a little more information for people just overall. But yeah, that's
more,
just me.
More information always helps because that way you can make an informed decision. And I like what you're saying, too, is that the folks that were, say, in the park, say, from noon till 5 on that Thursday when they knew the parks were going to close, what if the counter service venues would have had an option because they knew, you know, you could almost see this was going to happen at supper time when everybody got back to the resorts. Just make like a to-go, you know, little plate, you know, that you could take
and
stuff that isn't going to go bad.
And that's what I saw some people doing.
Yeah.
Like some people were smart enough and thoughtful, had forethought to think, hey, you know what? The food court's probably going to be slammed when I get home. Let me grab this and I'll take it back to my resort, whether it's, you know, a quick service meal or, hey, you know, if you grab a full service meal, whatever. But, you know, like just have something that you can take back there and eat, whether it's that night or in the morning, you know, get a croissant or, you know, a bagel or something like that so that you have that. Or, you know, I think cheesecake makes a good breakfast too. So.
Always, especially if you're staying at Pop, man. That's
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I would say this would have been a great time to do that Ohana in your room option if it was available.
Yes.
But you'd have paid double. It would have been worth $80, you know, at that point. Who cares? You know, bring on the meat. It would have been good.
Yes.
So now let me, you know, I kind of want to close this. Well, before I close this out, though, I want to say, you know, I think that, you know, after the storm passed, we also kind of had an unforeseen circumstance where basically it was like here in St. Louis in the cold climates, Pam, like you have in Pittsburgh, like, you know, you're stuck inside all winter long. And then you get that first like 75 degree day and the sun's out and the snow's melted and like everybody's out washing their cars because like everybody just wants to get out.
Right.
I think that happened on Saturday. Like I saw crowds at places.
It
was crazy.
Friday night at
Disney Springs. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, Friday night when they opened Disney Springs. It was unreal.
My coworker actually, he literally drove down on Wednesday night to go down to Florida to be in Orlando because he had planned to do it in the first place before the hurricane ever got announced. And so he stayed at Coronado Springs. And he said, yeah, we took a bus. We ended up going to Disney Springs. And man, that place was just packed on, you know, because everybody and their brother, they all got released all at once from their hotel rooms. And so that was the only place that was open. So they all swarmed just like crazy to Disney Springs. And that was probably a little bit too much probably for Disney Springs, but
I understand that. Coop. Yeah, I totally understood what they were doing. You know, people needed something to do. And obviously Disney Springs is, you know, bring it back online as soon as possible because it's a major right. revenue source, especially on a Friday night. But the thing was, like, I saw pictures from Pop Century where, if you know the bus corrals at Pop Century, Disney Springs is the yes. last one. Okay, so as you're coming out of Everything Pop, it's the one on the very end. The line to get into that bus line was yes. back to Everything Pop. It was crazy. Like, it was past all the crawls. But I mean, you know, I mean, it was either that or, you know, you've been at your resort at best. You've been probably sitting in your room at worst for most of the last yep. 36 hours, of course, you know, and it's your Disney vacation. A lot of folks, maybe you'd waited 2 or 3, 5 years to go on this vacation. You're going to, I mean, I get it, but oh man, it was, I mean, like the worst New Year's Eve ever at Disney Springs that day. Crazy.
Yeah, it was. And I, you know, having been, you know, we were there during Tropical Storm Debbie, which was a few years ago, and it wasn't the same because they didn't close the parks or anything like that. But, you know, it was kind of that same feeling of we went back to the hotel early to, you know, because it was rain. I mean, it just torrential. It rains all day and you're wet and soggy and you're just done. So you go and hang out back at the resort. Well, the next day you're itching. You're ready to go because you spent the whole time in the resort and you're just done. You're like, let's go do something because I'm so stir crazy from sitting in this room. So I don't blame people, but it was definitely a lot of people.
Okay, so to close the show out, you know, maybe it'll give you some ideas in case you are in this situation in the future. You can, you know, maybe think to grab a meal while you're in the park right before it closes and, you know, have some food on hand without having to go to your food court. Or like Pam said, make some, you know, if you're on a cruise, you know, get sure up some plans for when you get back into port. But closing out, I just want to say, you know, and I wanted to do this show because I wanted to commend the cast members at Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line and the Disney Company as a whole, because there were people in central reservations. There were a lot of folks who did a lot of hard work to help keep people safe. And, you know, once they were safe, entertained and to take a, you know, a not so great situation, but to make the best of it. You know, Disney brought out the characters to the resorts. There were impromptu dance parties. There were scavenger hunts. You know, they did what they could. But you got to think about this. These cast members are there doing the best they can under, you know, really tough situations. When the food court at Pop Century is just wall-to-wall people, you can imagine the stress these cast members that are, you know, dipping chicken nuggets and fries and, you know, all that stuff, making the pastas. I mean, they're stressed because they're going as fast as they can. They only have so many fryers and, you know, machines to make food. But also, you got to remember that when their shift's over at 10 p.m., they have to go home and their house is in the middle of a hurricane now, you know, so it's not like,
they couldn't even go home
or that. Yeah. But I mean, they're living it, you know, like when we're down there, it's like our little playground, you know, like that's it, you know, but when I'm there during a hurricane, like it's scary and it's exciting in some ways, it's different. But the thing is if you're down there, these cast members, that's their reality. You know, they go home and they might not have a roof on their house. They don't know that at that point, you know, say Thursday, you know, they could go home and have a tree through their porch or something. So, you know, kudos to the cast members for keeping everybody safe and just putting on a good show for us and taking care of the guests. Pam, I just want to throw that in there before we got out of here because I know you, like me, really, you know, we're advocates for those cast members. They're working hard and they're not getting compensated well enough for the situation like they were in this past week.
Absolutely. And I want to say not only to the cast members who did a fantastic job, but also to Walt Disney World, who let a lot of guests leave without penalizing them when they certainly were within their right to do so. And some other suppliers would do that. They made amendments. They made changes to reservations. They did all of this to many of the guests' benefits. And I think that it's something where, you know, when we want to be critical about certain things, we also want to make sure that we give kudos where they're, you know, where they're deserved. And they are deserved in this case. Look, a weather emergency is not a travel supplier's emergency, right? I mean, look, try to change your airplane tickets because of X, Y, or Z. Most of the time, they won't let you. Now, they did suspend some changes in this space, but they typically aren't like a, you know, they weren't as accommodating as Disney was in this space. And they really did a lot of things to make sure that their guests were treated well, both by the cast members and also by the company as a whole financially. And I think that that's something that needs to be recognized.
Totally. Yeah. I'm still working with Disney and the night we're recording had a guest relations person call me back personally on my cell phone because I'm dealing with the situation for some of my guests because they decided to leave early. And so we're doing everything we can to make it right. Disney's working with me. I'm working with them. And there's a conversation and we're getting it done, which makes me feel good. You know, I left a message and they called me back within a couple hours. Now, I know they're busy because I'm not the only one that's dealing with the same problem because people left. So that made me feel good that they're not, making me wait 48 hours. They're being proactive and taking care of things. And that makes me excited. So, Ricky, last words on the hurricane situation as we kind of break it down and just hope we don't have to deal with this one for a while.
Yeah, like you guys said, the cast members, I think, did the best job that they could. As I said in my blog post on the Mouseful-less, just be courteous because, like you said, you don't know what that person has to deal with. This is their home. This is where they live. So they have all these worries going on that, they don't need you to be rude to them, So that's kind of that was my big thing. But I think that there's a lot that can be learned from this. I think that there's a lot that was good. And I think that, you hope, obviously, that this doesn't happen again. But of course it will, because it's of Mother Nature and hurricanes happen. And so, I hope that we learn from this. Everyone, learns from this and how to prepare themselves better for this type of situation. Again, like I said, this was the first time this had ever been done via social media. So, I think it was a great learning tool, especially for someone like me who had never really experienced peripherally what it was like for, everybody down in Orlando. So this was a great learning experience for me, and I think it will be a great learning experience for everyone else as well.
Agreed. You got to take a situation like this and just, learn lessons, I thought they did really well though. Everybody stayed safe and, minimal
Everybody
impact considering there was a category 4 hurricane, knocking on the door. I think kudos to Disney. In my opinion, it was well done. So, not perfect, but it wasn't going to be perfect. So good job, Disney. All right, well, let's close out the show. Today's show is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less. In Disney, a couple of weeks ago, they announced what is unofficially known as the non-hurricane season early 2017 discount. No, it's not really called that. But it does go most dates from January till about the first weekend of April. So if you're looking to go down when it's a little cooler and the crowds are low and it's a great time, you can even catch some of Flower and Garden towards the end of this discount. There's Play, Stay, and Dine. If you want that package where everything's taken care of, you got your dining plan, you got your tickets, you got your accommodations, you can save money on all three with that. You can also do what's called the Gift of Magic room offer, which is awesome because it's going to take some money off that room stay if you don't need tickets or dining. That's a great way to save some money as well. The best thing to do, like I always say, is just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. If you're unsure about a resort, let me tell you about this. When you're over at themagicforless.com, just click on Walt Disney World right there on the ribbon at the top, and you can drop down to all the different aspects of your vacation. But really do drop by and see the resorts, because there's great resort pages there. It has awesome pictures of your resort, breaks down the rooms, kind of shows the schematics of where the bathroom is, where the beds are laid out, where the little, desk area is. You can kind of plan out, is this going to be good for our family? You also get a breakdown of the room types, and the resort guides over there are just awesome. Even if you're not looking to book, you just want to play around because you're a Disney fan, do that. Drop by the Magic for Less. Lots of great information over there. But while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote. Let them know you heard about them here on the BR Guest Podcast, and a great agent will get back with you right away, put together some numbers, and hey, you may be heading down to Walt Disney World in early 2017 and saving a good amount of money on that trip. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online. He's at ameriprisedadvisors.com/drew.baker. All right, do check us out on the social media. Again, hashtag AskBOGP on both Facebook and Twitter. Leave your question for next Wednesday show, and we'll get to that right away. Do give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. And again, drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Hey, runners out there, lizards, get those miles in. I know they're creeping up, but you can do it. You guys are inspiring. Last weekend, so many people did so many amazing races, really all over the world. and we couldn't be more proud of you. So our Lizards, we are so, so proud to have this running squad. Each one of you that gets out there, laces up the shoes, whether it's for a 1 mile walk with the family, that's awesome. Some of you guys are already running full marathons. Crazy. You don't do that until January. But people are, you're having fun. Some people are even going further than marathons, doing Ironman and stuff like that. You guys are amazing. You inspire me. You inspire so many of us. So keep on pounding that pavement. Hope you have a great run this weekend. So for Ricky and Mike, Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. And Mike, I don't even know who I am.
Pam, you're Pam.
Ricky, are you Ricky? Okay, good.
I'm Ricky.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. You know, I'm probably, because I know, you know what it is. I know I have a 17-mile run, and hopefully I'm laughing on my 16th mile. I'm like, oh, I got a stitch. Anyway, so for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Got it. I can't remember what to say now, so we'll just say we'll see you real soon. Stay safe. So bad.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.